Morning. Welcome to another edition of Inquisition Update. My name's Tom Press, and I'll be with you for the next hour. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll begin right away with the book, A Woman Rides a Beast by Dave Hunt. Still talking about the Vatican rat lines. This is information vital for God's people today. Confirming the thesis that the papacy is the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist, and that the horrors of the ancient Roman Catholic Church during the medieval ages continues even today. Rome has not changed. It is still the synagogue of Satan, and it's time for the American people to acknowledge that fact and prepare accordingly. Retreating a couple of paragraphs from where we left off yesterday, I'll begin with the subtitle, All to the Glory of God? This is on page 314, the last section of the page, if you're following along in your own copy of the book. Dave Hunt says, some of the most valuable assistance that Hudal received in setting up his infamous escape routes came from an old friend, Walter Rauf, himself a Nazi war criminal and mass murderer of the Jews. The tangled web of evil implicates other powers as well, with whom the Vatican covertly worked, including the United States. The OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, which was the predecessor of what we know today as the CIA, quote, borrowed, unquote, Rauf from the Vatican long enough to debrief this former SS intelligence chief of everything he knew about communist agents operating in the West, then allowed him to return to his apartment in Milan, from which he ran the northern end of the Vatican rat lines. To help finance the Vatican's escape network, Rauf enlisted a former SS colleague, Frederico Schwent, one of the most talented counterfeiters of all time. His genius supplemented Vatican funds during the early days of the rat lines. Later operations were supported in large measure by the sale of some of the Nazi ill-gotten treasures, including hundreds of pounds of gold smuggled out to the West and laundered by Roman Catholic prelates. This has been the historic function of the Roman Catholic Church to take gold in war and launder it through the church and use it for church purposes. Now, even the International Red Cross, especially the Rome office, but others as well, was duped into aiding the operation by providing the false identity papers that enabled multitudes of war criminals to board ships in Genoa for South America. The end of the operation, that end of the operation was overseen by Croatian Archbishop Siri, who hid such infamous monsters as Eichmann in a monastery during his flight from justice. As for Pavlich's old friend from Intermarium, and one of the mass killers of Serbs and Jews in Croatia, Stephen Heffer. The record indicates, quote, Stephen Heffer also escaped into Austria. He was there on August 19, 1946, when the Yugoslav government filed documents asking for his return to Yugoslavia to stand trial for war crimes, but sailed to join his Poglavnik, his Führer, Pavlich, in Argentina. Heffer, possibly it's pronounced Heffer, my apologies. Heffer was helped out of Europe by the most important Croatian escape route, which operated out of the Instituto di Santo Geronimus, the Institute of Saint Jerome, at 132 Tomaselli Street in Rome. This Vatican-financed Roman Catholic Foundation, run by Fathers Draganovic and Lavasic, facilitated the escape of thousands of Ustashi to South America. in Buenos Aires, the refugees could receive assistance from a group of exiled Roman Catholic Croatian monks. In this way, as many as 500 Ustashi a month were able to slip away, unquote. By what rationale could torturers and mass murderers be protected from justice? The accumulated evidence indicates that being pro-Roman Catholic and anti-communist was all that mattered. Absolution was possible for any crime. Moreover, killing heretics and Jews had been a well-established practice for centuries by the Roman Catholic Church and had been confirmed by numerous popes as an act of faith to the glory of God. When one considers the Vatican's history, the rescue of Nazi war criminals who were Roman Catholics and had faithfully followed the example of Holy Mother Church seems gruesomely understandable. Supporting the Roman Catholic Church in its struggle against its archenemies, communism and Protestantism, and propagating the Roman Catholic faith worldwide was seen as doing God's will. It was therefore to be pursued by any means, at any cost, and with any partners of convenience. The Vatican's determination to see Europe become once again a Roman Catholic federation of states in opposition to Stalin's communism was the overriding factor with which all else had to fall in line. The Western allies were willing to be limited partners in such an enterprise to whatever extent it served their own selfish interests. It was the very unholy alliance, what the Bible calls fornication with kings, all over again, of which the woman whom the Apostle John had seen astride the beast would be guilty down through history. Catholic countries were duty-bound to do their part in furthering the Vatican's interests. Part of that duty included providing safe haven for those sons of the Mother Church whom she wished to protect in the pursuit of her great mission to create God's kingdom on earth. Those in far-off Latin America were strategically located to best perform that service. And they did so. A new director for the Ratlines. Hudal's open espousal of Nazism, his outspoken admiration for Adolf Hitler, and his unabashed anti-Semitism continued even after the war ended and the unfathomable evil of the Holocaust had been revealed to a horrified world. As a result, the bishop eventually became an embarrassment to the Vatican. He was drawing attention, public attention, which threatened exposure of the Ratlines. Consequently, his superiors brought pressure upon Hudal to step out of the picture. Reluctantly, he retired from his ecclesiastical positions and faded into the background. Thereafter, the supervision of the Ratlines fell upon the shoulders of a resourceful Croatian Roman Catholic priest, Father Draganislav Draganovic. In Croatia, he had been a close assistant to Bishop Saric of Sarajevo, a notorious anti-Semite known as the Hangman of the Serbs. Church officials had called Draganovic to Rome in August of 1943, where he became Intermarium's most influential contact in the Vatican. That he had also maneuvered himself into becoming the Croatian Red Cross representative in Rome was of invaluable help after the war in obtaining false documents for fugitives. Draganovic was director of the Croatian Confraternity of San Girolamo, founded in Rome by Pope Nicholas V in 1453. The monastery's labyrinthian interior on Tomaselli Street soon sheltered many a fugitive from international justice. San Girolamo became, in fact, the nerve center for the continued smuggling of Nazi war criminals to South America and elsewhere. Many of Draganovich's former associates in the Ustashi, including a number of Roman Catholic priests such as Father Willem Cecilia, listed as a war criminal number 7103 by Tiso's government and unsuccessfully sought for extradition, were key figures in operating the rat lines. Cecilia, already referred to as responsible for the Austrian end of the rat lines, quote, had served as a military chaplain and performed absolution for Ustashi forces during the height of the massacres of Serbs and Jews, unquote. Immediately after the war, Father Cecilia, ostensibly for the purest humanitarian reasons, but without any affiliation or approval of the International Red Cross, founded the Croatian Red Cross, a strategic move which was to prove extremely useful for the rat lines. Receiving temporary permission to run his quote-unquote refugee camp in Austria until the International Red Cross could set up its own authorized affiliate, Cecilia gained access to Red Cross identity cards. He was thereby able to provide false papers certified by the Red Cross for his fellow Ustashi as they escaped into Austria and then made their way down the Vatican pipeline through Rome to Genoa and on to freedom in South America. This Catholic father often boasted of his initiation into the Ustashi in a secret ritual involving candles, a crucifix, a cross dagger, and a revolver. Now Dave is going to talk about the staggering contempt for truth that the Vatican holds. It says, when rumors of the smuggling operation began to circulate, both the Vatican and Draganovich disclaimed any involvement in the rat lines. Such denials by the Roman Catholic hierarchy continue to this very day, usually datelined Vatican City, and carried in major newspapers around the world. Here's a recent protest of innocence. On, quote, rebutting an old accusation, the Vatican yesterday rejected allegations that it aided Nazi war criminals to flee to Europe from Europe to South America after World War II. The assertion was triggered by reports from Argentina that newly declassified archives there showed that Nazi officials arrived in Buenos Aires after the war on passports provided by the Vatican, the Red Cross, and Spain. Vatican archives for the period are closed, despite requests from Jewish groups for access to them. Vatican Press Chief Joaquin Navarro, the spokesman for John Paul II, said, quote, the idea that the Holy See helped Nazi criminals, persecutors of the Jews, to flee from Europe is historically false, unquote. A later article declares, quote, almost 2 years after President Carlos Saul Menem announced that he would open Argentina's Nazi files, investigators here say they have probably gathered one of the most exhaustive archives documenting the movements of Nazis after the war that exists. The documents show, for example, that Antti Pavlich entered Argentina after the war with 8 Croatian aides, but not previously known was the entry of Pavlich associates accused of war crimes, including, and then a list is included of all the names, unquote. Such periodic outbursts of self-righteous indignation only betray the Vatican's flagrant disregard for truth. The facts, hidden for decades in secret vaults, can no longer be denied. Some of the records that Ahrens and Loftus uncovered, which established beyond question the Vatican's active involvement, were originally acquired by, quote, a daring burglary of Draganovich's office which obtained photographs of many of Draganovich's top-secret records, unquote. Those records provide conclusive proof that Girolamo was, quote, the center of the Vatican smuggling operation, unquote. The center of the Vatican's smuggling operation. Photocopied documents from the burglary also confirm that Ante Pavlich himself, quote, was living inside the Vatican along with other wanted war criminals, unquote. In those days, the former Croatian Führer was disguised as a Roman Catholic priest. While being hid at the Vatican, Pavlich became a good friend of Monsignor Giovanni Battista Montini, the Vatican's Undersecretary of State, and Montini became Pope Paul VI in 1963 in the midst of John XXIII's Vatican Council II. As already mentioned, Pope Paul VI would take control of and impose his will upon Vatican Council II, much as Pope Pius IX had done with Vatican Council I in 1870. Vatican sponsorship of the rat lines was also thoroughly established through constant surveillance by Allied intelligence teams. Consider the following brief excerpt from a report by Counterintelligence Corps, the CIC, Agent Robert Mudd. Quote, these Croats, war criminals, travel back and forth from the Vatican several times a week in a car with a chauffeur whose license plate bears the initials CD, which stands for Corps Diplomatic, or the Diplomatic Corps. It issues forth from the Vatican and discharges its passengers inside the monastery of San Girolamo. Subject to diplomatic immunity, it is impossible to stop the car. Draganovich's sponsorship of these Croat quislings definitely links him up with the plans of the Vatican to shield these ex-Ustashi nationalists until such time as they are able to procure for them the proper documents to enable them to go to South America, unquote. Western intelligence was spectacularly inept in its opposition to, quote, the very well-organized and successful rat line run by Father Draganovich and an array of Roman Catholic Croatian clerics, unquote. One of the few moments of triumph came when, quote, the British arranged an ambush at San Girolamo itself, arresting about 100 men as they left a meeting, unquote. One reason for the lack of success was the fact that both, quote, Washington and London had entered into arrangements with the Holy See to assist many Nazi collaborators to emigrate via Draganovich's smuggling system, unquote. Now Dave's going to talk about American and British involvement. He says the frustrated American and British agents who were attempting to capture elusive war criminals were not aware that Draganovich was being tipped off by certain elements within their own agencies. Thus, the quote-unquote good father, Draganovich, continued to snatch his fellow Ustashi out of refugee camps just before they were about to be arrested. This was the case, for example, with Lubo Milos, a senior official at the Jasenovac concentration camp where about 300,000 people were killed. And if you would like to see for yourself this concentration camp, simply go to YouTube videos and type in Jasenovac concentration camp. And I will spell it Jasenovac. Again, Jasenovac concentration camp. And watch the videos for yourself to see for yourself what a gruesome facility it was for the slaughter of Jews and Orthodox Serbs. Stand by for a second. Okay, back to business here. The Jasenovac concentration camp, where it is said only 300,000 people were killed. You talk about a murderous assembly line. It was unbelievable. It says Milos had enjoyed the, quote, ritual killing of Jews, unquote, slitting throats, shearing ribs, and ripping open bellies with a special knife, or having prisoners thrown alive into a brick factory furnace, or simply having them bludgeoned to death. You know, we've all been horrified by stories coming out of Iraq about Saddam Hussein's, and particularly his son's, gruesome tortures. Justifying a war against Saddam Hussein that we've recently concluded at incalculable expense, both in terms of lives and of treasure, and more than that, reputation among the world's nations. Why didn't we go to war against this operation, this killing operation in the former Yugoslavia, the Jasenovac concentration camps? Well, because that wouldn't have been very beneficial to Rome's intentions. The United States serves the Vatican. That's the hideous reality. He says, tipped off that Milos was about to be arrested, Draganovic snatched him out from under the noses of his would-be captors and whisked him away to safety. Another Roman Catholic priest, Eustachy member, and war criminal who worked underground on the rat lines was Father Dragutin Camber. Dragutin Camber. A mass murderer, Dragutin had even set up and commanded a concentration camp for Serbs and Jews, whom he declared had to be exterminated because they were harmful to the Eustachy state, the Roman Catholic state of Croatia. Now, he worked diligently to help his fellow Eustachy war criminals elude Soviet and Allied intelligence and make their way to freedom, where the Eustachy movement could make a fresh start. The OSS, the United States Office of Strategic Services, even cooperated in the effort because it was hopeful that these Croatian patriots would become a formidable foe to the communist Tito, who had become president of Yugoslavia. The CIC was actually working against itself. While one section, under orders from Washington, was seeking to arrest war criminals, another section was under secret orders from Washington to shelter and use Nazi war criminals to its own ends. And we'll give examples of this when we get back from the break. You're listening to Inquisition Update on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use, and then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Welcome back to Inquisition Update. If you'd like to support this work, please support First Amendment Radio, who sponsors the program. Now, continuing where we left off before the break, the CIC, that is the Counterintelligence Corps, a counterintelligence corps situated within the Office of Strategic Services, the OSS, was actually working against itself. While one section, under orders from Washington, was seeking to arrest war criminals, another section was under secret orders from Washington to shelter and to use Nazi war criminals to its own ends. Wonder what those ends would be. Take, for example, the infamous Klaus Barbie, the Gestapo chief in Lyons, France. The United States CIC Counterintelligence Corps, 66th Headquarters in Stuttgart, Germany, sheltered Barbie and his family for more than 5 years while it used him as an informer, then helped him escape. While many of Klaus Barbie's files have been removed from State Department archives, quote, it appears that the High Commissioner's Office used Barbie with Allied Control Board travel documents and send him down the Vatican rat lines, unquote. Ahrens and Loftus continue, quote, Dragunovich promptly shipped him, that is Barbie and his family, off to South America under the name of Klaus Altman. In Bolivia, Barbie was received by Dragunovich's local representative, Father, that is Roman Catholic priest, Roque Romac, another fascist Croatian priest and wanted war criminal, whose real identity was Father Stepan Osvaldi Thoth. A close examination of the badly copied Barbie documents reveals that the State Department, the United States State Department, coordinated his passage down the rat line. Indeed, almost all the early passengers on the American rat lines were handled by the State Department's Office of Policy Coordination, the OPC, through their contact man in Rome. In fact, many of Dragunovich's phony exit papers were arranged through Robert Bishop, an American ex-OSS agent who was then in charge of the eligibility office of the International Refugee Organization, the IRO, in Rome, according to CIC records, unquote. Thus, the Vatican's infamous rat lines were operated in unholy alliances with Western intelligence agencies, at least up to a point. At the same time, that Allied intelligence was helping Dragunovich to smuggle out certain war criminals, he was going behind their backs to rescue many thousands more. Recently released secret documents reveal an almost unbelievable web of intrigue and evil, payoffs, double cross, murder, that eventually implicated CIA chiefs such as Roman Catholic Alan Dulles and Roman Catholic William Casey, as well as United States presidents, and laid the foundation for later scandals such as Watergate and the Iran-Contra affair. Infamous war criminals who should have been tried at Nuremberg were even brought into the Pentagon as special consultants in preparation for what seemed an inevitable war with the Soviet Union. Ironically, the policy opened the door to Soviet agents who infiltrated the entire rat line system and the related Western intelligence agencies, but that's another story. The Vatican not only rescued tens of thousands of war criminals from justice, but set them up to continue their terrorism anew after the war. It was intermarium all over again, a fresh start to build a Catholic Europe in opposition to Soviet communism. For example, Dragunovich sheltered within the San Girolamo Monastery Vilko Peknikar, quote, organizer of Pavlich's pre-war terrorist groups and a general in Pavlich's personal bodyguard, unquote, who also commanded, quote, the brutal gendarmerie, which worked in close collaboration with the Gestapo, unquote. Both Britain and America have agreed to hand him over to Tito's Yugoslavian government for prosecution as a major war criminal. But Dragunovich rescued Peknikar and gave him access to, quote, the treasure he had collected for his rat line, unquote, to use in, quote, reorganizing the Ustashi movement abroad, unquote. Now Dave is going to talk about the death of the demon of Croatia, Ante Pavlich, the so-called Croatian Führer, the Poglavnik, as we've talked about in this book. It says, in due time, when he had given Vatican and Western intelligence all the information he possessed, Pavlich was passed down the rat line to safety under the identity of Pablo Araños. The Araños identity papers were provided by yet another Croatian Roman Catholic priest, Father Josip Bozanovic, himself a wanted war criminal who later escaped to Australia. Pavlich was welcomed to Argentina by its dictator, Juan Perón, himself a bailiff, Grand Cross of Honor and Devotion of the Roman Catholic Secret Order, Knights of Malta. It is still required that the head of Argentina be a Roman Catholic. Pavlich was assured that Perón had already approved the continuation of the Ustashi movement from Argentina as its new base. That arrangement had been negotiated by a Vatican representative, Daniel Carrion, another priest who had also played a key role in the slaughter of the Serbs. Waiting for Pavlich in Buenos Aires was a host of his former ministers, police, and military officers. Most of them wanted war criminals. Virtually the entire leadership of the Ustashi had escaped intact and had safely preceded their Poglavnik down the rat lines in their flight from justice. His old friend Stephen Hefer had also joined the Ustashi Führer there to give the movement a fresh start in new locations around the world. The Ustashi still exists. It still operates under the power and influence of the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, with the help of the United States government. And what do you suppose these Ustashi are to do in the West? Being reminded that their job was to exterminate all of Europe of Jews and Serbs, what would their business be here in the West? Well, in addition to the slaughter of Jews and Serbs, or Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, their new mission would include Protestants. Now, the exiled Ustashi members managed to portray themselves as victims of communist terrorism who had fled from persecution brought about because they were Croatian patriots who opposed Tito's communist regime. Having experienced communism's evil firsthand, they said, they now wanted to warn the world and were dedicated to fighting this monster and eventually freeing the oppressed. Thus, they claimed to merit the backing of freedom-loving people. Anti-communist front groups were set up, such as the Croatian Liberation Movement, the HOP as it is known, founded by Antonin Pavlich and headquartered in Buenos Aires. Stephen Hefer, as he might be correctly called, was named to its Supreme Council. But there's no honor among murderers, and it was not long until rival Croatians attempted to assassinate Pavlich, and the Poglavnik went into hiding in Spain. He lived quietly and reclusively in Madrid until his death from natural causes in December of 1959. On that day, Pope John XXIII pronounced his personal benediction upon that incredibly evil and sadistic mass murderer. That's right, Rome makes saints and heroes out of the most vicious slaughterers the world has ever produced. Pavlich is buried in a secret grave outside Madrid. Quote, on Pavlich's death, the leader of the HOP passed to Stephen Hefer, unquote. Archbishop Sarich died a year later in 1960, also in Spain. Now, what about the pitiful denials of the Vatican? Denying the involvement of all the atrocities of the Second World War. It says, in tracing the history of the Vatican and the popes, we have found a consistent pattern of suppression of the most elementary human rights, a pattern which has included torture and murder on a grand scale. such behavior, supported by infallible pronouncements and unchangeable dogmas, has not been confined to the Middle Ages, but continues to the present as circumstances allow. The operation of the rat lines, which we have only been able to summarize briefly, provides additional proof that Rome has not changed. We've also seen a consistent pattern of denial of the facts, which betrays a staggering contempt for truth. The irrefutable historical record provides no basis for confidence in the pledges of peace and goodwill, either toward Jews or evangelicals, which are currently issuing forth from Rome. This ecumenism is phony as a $3 bill. I'm here to tell you Vatican Council II was just a preparation for a holocaust in this country, the likes of which the world has ever seen, and it will even exceed the horrors that Rome perpetrated during the Second World War. It's coming to USA. We have failed to maintain the knowledge that was brought to us by the Protestant reformers. And instead of seeing the papacy as the historical, prophetic, and biblical Antichrist, we've been told that the Antichrist won't come until the last 7 years of history. We don't need to worry about him. And now we're free to accept the Pope as the spiritual and temporal leader, moral compass for this country. That's what we got from Vatican Council II. We just threw the doors wide open to the biblical Antichrist and let him take over in this country. Look, Vatican Council II and ecumenism simply added evangelicals to the membership ranks of the whore church. And now the prelates of the Roman Catholic Church can walk into the halls of power in this country and slam their fist on the table and say, now we represent all of Christianity in the United States of America. We have a political and religious mandate, and this government will do what we tell them to do, or we will replace them with those who will do what we tell them to do. And you know what they're going to tell them to do? Turn their taxpayer-funded high-tech weaponry against their last enemy on the earth, Bible-believing Protestants. Only those who hold the truth and won't let go of it. The United States has sown to the wind, and it's about to reap the whirlwind. You cannot spit in the face of the Protestant reformers. You cannot spit in the face of Jesus Christ. Make your bed with the whore of Rome, the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist. Call it ecumenism or whatever you want to call it. It is high treason against the throne of Almighty God, and this country will pay with blood. And our only help is divine deliverance from the Almighty, the one we serve. He says, we've also seen a consistent pattern of denial of the facts, which betrays a staggering contempt for the truth. The irrefutable historical record provides no basis for confidence in the pledges of peace and goodwill. You know, every papal encyclical since Vatican Council II has contained the words goodwill, peace, unity. There's no basis for confidence. History has copiously taught us that there is no hope for confidence in pledges of peace and goodwill either toward Jews or evangelicals, which are currently issuing forth from Rome. Recent newspaper articles reveal that there are still Roman Catholic clergy who would support the Holocaust and run the rat lines today. Do tell. Some of my critics say, Tom, you sound hateful, you sound angry. Christians aren't supposed to be hateful and angry. Christians are supposed to hate sin. Be angry and sin not. There's nothing sinful in exposing and condemning the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist and her operations through the use of our own government. And I'm not satisfied serving the Lord just singing in the choir and occupying a place in the pews and just waiting on Jesus. Here's a quote. One of France's most notorious Nazi collaborators was arrested Wednesday, May 24, 1989, at a Roman Catholic priory and charged with crimes against humanity after spending most of four decades in hiding. The 74-year-old fugitive Paul Touvier was head of intelligence for a pro-Nazi militia in Lyons. His protection during the early post-war period by senior members of the Roman Catholic hierarchy has been extensively documented. The hierarchy of France's Roman Catholic Church supported the pro-Nazi government of Vichy France. Despite individual acts of bravery and heroism by Roman Catholics, much of the Roman Catholic Church hierarchy collaborated wholeheartedly for decades. French cardinals, monks, and nuns helped. Paul Touvier elude justice. The church protects the most heinous killers that the world has ever produced. On May 5, 1994, Primetime Live with Sam Donaldson presented a television documentary entitled The Last Refuge. The program, shot in both Argentina and Rome, offered some of the same information we've just presented. The entrance into Argentina of Nazi war criminals coming down the Vatican rat lines was documented from the recently released archives in Buenos Aires. For example, the recorded entry of Joseph Mengele, known as the Angel of Death of Auschwitz. It was shown that the Argentine government, which was both pro-Roman Catholic and pro-Nazi, knew Mengele's true identity and whereabouts and protected him in spite of the demands for his extradition. He died of natural causes in Brazil in 1979. The most fascinating part of the film was Sam Donaldson's street encounters with elderly surviving Nazi war criminals interviewed for the very first time ever on camera. Initial denials were followed with grudging admissions of identity after Donaldson showed copies of SS membership documents and photos of the individuals in SS uniform. Acknowledgement of involvement in atrocities was also elicited, but with the excuse that, quote, I was only following orders, unquote. One ex-Nazi acknowledged that he had had an office in the Vatican. Interviewed also were ex-military intelligence agents who confirmed that the Vatican had run the rat lines. Donaldson then went to Rome to interview Father Robert Graham, a church historian who is an authority on the immediate post-war period as reflected in Vatican archives. In view of the overwhelming hard evidence we now have that the Vatican ran the rat lines. It was both humorous and maddening to hear the pitiful denials from Graham of any Vatican involvement whatsoever. He did acknowledge that the Vatican facilitated the passage through Italy and into South America of thousands of what he insisted were simple refugees, and maybe one or two war criminals sneaked through unrecognized. One or two, exclaimed Donaldson in surprise. There were thousands. Oh, please, please, returned Graham patronizingly. Don't be ridiculous. 1,000? That's absurd. When Donaldson persisted, giving additional evidence, Graham, now visibly upset, responded, quote, please, are you all so simple and unsophisticated as to believe that stuff? Please, be more intelligent than that. Give the Pope some credit, unquote. But the evidence is ironclad, and the Vatican denials only serve to demonstrate once again its contempt for the truth. While many individual Catholics showed compassion and concern and even risked their lives to rescue Jews, the Church, as an entity, did not. It's only fitting that Ahrens and Loftus concluded their book with this moving indictment of the Roman Catholic Church at its highest levels. Quote, instead of smuggling homeless Jews to Argentina, the rat line smuggled Eichmann, Pavlich, Stengel, and among others, and many others. Instead of denouncing Bishop Udall, the Vatican replaced him with a less conspicuous but far more efficient and effective operative in the form of Father Draganovich. Instead of international justice, there was Intermarium and a host of emigre Nazi fronts. What the Vatican did after World War II was a crime. The evidence is unequivocal. The Holy See aided the flight of fugitives from international justice. The rat lines were intentionally created to aid and abet the escape of wanted Nazi war criminals. We find no defense of ignorance. Pope Pius XII was fully aware of anti-Pavlich's crimes, nor was he the only case. The rat lines operated with reckless disregard for the fugitives' crimes against humanity. If the Pope wanted to know their real names, he had only to ask Father Draganovich. The burglary of his office revealed that he kept lists of the fugitives' true and false identities. The Pope's diplomatic messages reveal a pattern of protection and intercession for war criminals. The Vatican knew they were sheltering Nazis. We find no defense of authorized conduct. The rat lines were an official extension of covert Vatican diplomacy. There was virtually unanimous agreement among the surviving witnesses that Draganovich operated with the highest official sanction. The intelligence files of several nations confirm that the Vatican's top leaders authorized and directed the smuggling of fugitive war criminals. No matter how much or how convincing the evidence, however, Rome persists in her denials of culpability. The absolute, infallible, and unchangeable authority of the Roman Catholic Pontiff must be maintained at all cost. And the world has to stand up against this operation out, run out of the Vatican in Rome, and even mimicked by our own government. God will not be mocked. All we have.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back.